Welcome, great friends, to July 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. For the next 5 minutes, I'll talk about America, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone stand up. Let's face the flags if we have one and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you for that. Now on to today's program. The Battle of Gettysburg begins. The Philly Zoo opens. We'll wish a happy birthday to Popeye. And AT-40 featuring Casey Kasem debuts. All right, so now let's get started. 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg begins. This slaughterfest had more casualties than the entire Civil War. It was Major General George Meade and the Army of the Potomac v. Confederate General Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. The result? Decisive Union victory. In fact, most likely the turning point for the Union during the entire Civil War. Lee had just won big time in Chancellorsville a month prior, and now was ready to go on the offensive from Virginia to Pennsylvania, sending 60,000 troops and planning to destroy military posts along the way through Maryland, while counting on the fact that the North would be occupied elsewhere protecting Washington, D.C. It was really more of a political move than a strategic one, attempting to rally support from Britain and France to sympathize with the South. But the Army of the Potomac, known as the Iron Brigade, was a tough one, and was coming into the west of Gettysburg. On July 1st, the skirmish began, and the Confederates were able to drive the Union defenders to Cemetery Ridge. This put the Union Army at an advantage, as three more Union regiments arrived to secure the hill in a fishhook formation. The following day, on July 2nd, despite the advice of Lee's second-in-command, James Longstreet, Lee decided to go on the attack. The bloody battle raged at Little Round Top, the Wheat Field, Devil's Den, and the Peach Orchard. One of the Minnesota regiments held the position strongly for the Union, despite huge losses. In just 2 days fighting, there were probably 35,000 casualties. And as usual, the field was laid out with thousands and thousands of dead soldiers. Then on the third day came Pickett's charge. And we'll get into that on the 3rd of July. 1874. On the west bank of the Schuylkill River, the very first zoo in America opened its doors in Philadelphia. Admission was 25 cents. It's one of the first zoos in the entire world for breeding animals that have found it difficult to breed in captivity. It has a 42-acre Victorian garden, home to more than 1,300 animals, many of them rare and endangered. The furnace Victorian gates and gatehouses at the zoo's location are the same today as they were on the day that the zoo opened, according to their website. In fact, John Penn's home is still there. He was the grandson of William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania. You know, where all the pencils come from, as Ringo Starr would say. 1928. Happy birthday, Popeye. Not the chicken place, although that's great too. The Sailor Man. Even though HistoryOrb.com gives credit to Popeye being created on July 1st, Popeye wouldn't actually show up in Thimble Theater until January 17th. He had really huge forearms and tiny biceps. Moms and dads, listen up here. According to the August 2010 edition of the Toronto Globe and Mail, a study revealed that children increased their vegetable consumption after watching Popeye cartoons. In fact, Wikipedia says that the spinach-growing community of Crystal City, Texas, erected a statue of Popeye in recognition of the character's positive effects on the spinach industry. Apparently, it was believed much more in the 1930s that spinach had a much stronger iron content than the large amounts of vitamin A that it actually has. The Popeye Picnic is held every year in Chester, Illinois, on the weekend after Labor Day. In 2004, the Empire State Building illuminated its notable tower lights green one January weekend as a tribute to Popeye's 75th anniversary in Thimble Theater, his original comic strip. In 2002, TV Guide ranked Popeye number 20th on its 50 greatest cartoon characters of all time. And speaking of popularity lists, 1970, And on with the countdown. Number 40, Casey Kasem's Top 40 debuts nationally and becomes a big hit every Sunday morning for years to come. Dedication, anyone?
So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for July 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you think on the comment board. For example, what about the Battle of Gettysburg? Is there anything you care to add to that story? Have you ever been to the Philly Zoo? Were you a big fan of Popeye? Do you like spinach? I remember growing up, Popeye, Fred Flintstone, and Scooby-Doo were like the only cartoons that I could draw. I could draw Popeye in about 5 seconds. Besides those three, I couldn't draw anybody else or anything else for that matter. So yeah, let me know what your stories are. And be sure to check out tomorrow's show. I'll talk about Amelia Earhart and the Declaration of Independence. In the meantime, you can also catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. So, until tomorrow, everyone, thanks for listening and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you then.